In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And so it begins. Today is the first Sunday in Lent. Each year we enter this journey into Lent for 40 days. In the season of Lent, we focus on the journey that represents our entire life, from font to grave. In our Old Testament reading today from Deuteronomy chapter 26, God commands Israel to recount their journey from slavery in Egypt to freedom in the Promised Land. It put life in perspective for Israel, as our Lenten journey does for us. As we walk through this valley of the shadow of death, focusing on the journey with Jesus to his cross and empty tomb enables us to fear no evil, even though evil and murder and darkness are all around. Our journey with Jesus enables us to fear no evil because we are united with him, our Redeemer. As God commanded Israel in our reading today, so this week, this past Wednesday night and this morning, we enter the Lenten journey once again, and our reading shows us where we are headed. Recounting Israel's journey from slavery to freedom pictures our journey in Christ. Recounting Israel's journey from slavery to freedom pictures our journey in Christ. And so it begins. The people Israel was told in our reading today, when you come into the land that the Lord your God is giving you for an inheritance, you shall go to the place that the Lord your God will choose. And you shall make response before your God. As the people is preparing to enter the Promised Land, they look back in their history and they remember the 430 years of slavery in Egypt. The people had grown in great number after Joseph had become second to Pharaoh. However, with his death, the new Pharaoh felt threatened by so many Israelites. And so Egypt set taskmasters over Israel and forced them into harsh bondage. Their lives became bitter, making brick and mortar to build the Egyptian empire. When God sent Moses to deliver his people, Pharaoh's heart became hardened, placing even more evils upon Israel, harsher taskmasters. It's interesting that Cyril of Jerusalem taught Christians in the 4th century that Pharaoh is a figure for Satan. You know, that most bitter and cruel tyrant of sin and evil, who seeks to strip us of our salvation and devour us and drag us into the torments of hell. The old evil foe attacks you every day, and he desires to bring deadly woe upon you. He uses all his evil schemes to fight against you, to wear you down, to destroy you. He sets the riches of the world before you, and soon you are enticed to make them your idol for 70 or 80 years and lose the promised land of eternal life with Christ. He whispers in the ears of evil people to deceive you and to lie to you and hurt you. He revels in your sickness. He aggravates your doubts. He brings misery to your fears, all that you might curse God and die. It's no surprise that he tried to do that with Jesus, as we read in our gospel reading today in Luke chapter 4. Satan and sin and death, they are cruel taskmasters. They tighten the cords of our bondage. There is no good in Satan and his minions. Don't think for a moment you can believe them or trust them or that they will befriend you in any way. They pursue you constantly and treat you harshly and humiliate you and lay on you hard labor, suffering, pain, doubt, and dread. And this is our journey on earth. Not 40 days, but 40 years times two, and maybe more. The season of Lent always confronts us with our sin, the sin that enslaves us to the evil one and in the first place. Where Jesus in the wilderness was tempted ferociously by the devil, we didn't even put up a good fight. So, the prophet Joel cries out as we begin our Lenten journey, as we heard also on Wednesday night, "Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, is slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love." So John the Baptist cries out in the wilderness, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." So Jesus' very first words recorded in the Gospel of Mark are, "The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel." So we fall on our knees in repentance to our merciful God. The people of Israel reconfirms their repentance in Deuteronomy today when it says, "Then we cried to the Lord, the God of our fathers, and the Lord heard our voice and saw our affliction, our toil, and our oppression." But let me tell you, we have an advantage each Lent. We know the end of our journey: the cross of Jesus and his empty tomb. We know God's grace and mercy and love for his wayward children under the tyranny of Satan and this wicked generation. We know Jesus turned aside all Satan's temptation, as we read in Luke chapter 4 today, so that his obedience counts for us. We know the power of the cross, that is, forgiveness for the sin of the whole world. And so, at the beginning of this Lenten journey, at the beginning of each new day, at the beginning of each new journey in life that takes us to old age, we return to Christ. We come before the Lord here in his house and say in faith, like we said this morning, "Almighty God, have mercy upon us, forgive us our sins, and lead us to everlasting life." And God says to all of us, through the living voice of his called and ordained servant, "Your sins are forgiven. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen." Throughout our journey in life, we cry to the Lord, and he forgives us. Oh, how he delivers us. Israel also recognizes God's deliverance, and so they retell it. "The Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. He brought us into this place and gave us this land, a land flowing with milk and honey." Just to give you perspective, that holy land of Canaan that they were about to enter was promised to Abraham 680 years before our reading from Deuteronomy chapter 26. 680 years. There were times when it seemed nearly impossible that God could or even should make good on his promise. Abraham sinned often. Jacob, he tricked his father for the inheritance that belonged to his brother Esau. And the sins of Jacob's son led Joseph and the Israelites into Egypt for hundreds of years. But God always makes good on his promises. God always makes good on his promises. God sent Moses to Pharaoh with his direct command, "Let my people go." After many plagues and the crossing of the Red Sea on dry ground, they were on their way to the land God promised because of God's mighty hand and outstretched arm. God delivered Israel out of Egypt into the promised land. And this is the greatest redemption act of God in the entire Old Testament. But all this is a foreshadowing of the greatest redemptive act of God in all history for all mankind, the eternal salvation of sinners and the restoration of all creation with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. While with the outstretched arm of Moses, God delivered Israel from that devilish Pharaoh, with outstretched arm, God in the flesh hang on the cross, taking the place of us all. With outstretched arms, Jesus hangs on a cross and declares, "Father, forgive them." And we are released from bondage to sin and eternal death. The chains fall powerless. With outstretched arms, Jesus bleeds a blood that washes us clean and opens the doors of paradise, a promised land in which we will live forever, a land flowing with life and joy and peace. With outstretched arms, Jesus delivered us from the devil and crushed his head. He has triumphed gloriously. Therefore, the outstretched arms of our Savior Jesus turn our Lenten journey into our Easter eternity. Lent only lasts for a moment, but Easter? Easter lasts a lifetime and forever. And this is our baptismal faith. While we live on this earth, we live in Lent and Easter at the same time. We sin, we grieve, we suffer, we repent. But in the waters of your baptism, daily you are forgiven. Daily you are a child of paradise. After the people of Israel retells God's deliverance in Deuteronomy 26, they also recommit to worship the Lord that has done all that for them. Verses 10 and 11 say, "Behold, now I bring the first of the fruit of the ground, which you, O Lord, have given me. And you shall set it down before the Lord your God and worship before the Lord your God. And you shall rejoice in all the good that the Lord your God has given you." God is here describing Israel's response to their freedom from the bondage of Egypt. It's a response of worship and good works and joy. Nowhere does God say he will save his people if they give him the first fruits. Or if they do the good works, or if they worship him. God's people give their first fruits to him. They do good works, and they worship him because he redeemed them. Because God gave them first. This is their response to him. This is what Christians do. Israel was no different. Of course, they backslid often. They were even exiled to other lands during all those times. But their faith and life were always a response to God's grace, mercy, and love. And so it begins our Lenten journey. Once again, we give particular focus to our life in Christ, which includes our good works, our worship of Him, our love toward our neighbor. And so it begins our entire life in Christ, from font to grave, loving God and loving neighbor as we are grafted into the vine, Jesus Christ, from whom we have life and eternal salvation. It's amazing how Lent is this small-scale version of our life's journey from font to grave. We enter this Lent with the confidence of God's love for us in Jesus Christ as He journeys to the cross and rises from the dead for us to rescue us, to save us eternally, and to take us to His eternal kingdom. And so, it begins again. In Jesus' name, amen. The peace of God which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.